I was just dissecting a pig on my kitchen table downstairs in front of my
Oh
wife the other
man.
day for online virtual lab.
What? All right, you got to give us the details on that. Did they send you a pig, or you're going to the farmer's market and you're grabbing one too? What is the fastest removal you've ever performed in your career?
Oh my goodness, it's crazy you
Fast.
ask. It's crazy you ask because, I did the removal business for a few years myself, operating my own service. And then even still now, we have a removal service that we contract with, but I still do occasionally get involved there. And it's funny you mention that because I just the other day, I saw a call come through on the answering service. I saved it and everything and went directly there under 2 minutes. Yeah.
And so, was it a house call, hospital? Like, give us the details. How fast? It,
It,
door to door, door to
yeah.
door. What was the fastest? So you're talking 2 minutes door to door.
I'm talking 2 minutes door to door.
And
Now,
then
granted, I did have a heads up. They were waiting for the hospice nurse to respond, and I knew that, so I was already heading that way.
so okay, that is crazy. So what did they have the body ready in the hallway for you, and they just throw it on and sit on
Right.
you?
I
What's the
wish it was
deal?
that easy, man, huh? No,
If only.
but
Wow.
they were very grateful. I think that is that's a great question, and I think it's a great point to bring up that your response time is always looked at by the nurses, by the family. You're that first point of contact for the family is the removal service, and response times are very important to me.
Without a doubt, I think that's such an important thing, and it gets overlooked a little bit sometimes how important that removal is, because that's the first impression a family is going to have most of the time, more than half the time, I'd say. This is their first impression of so and so funeral home. So if you can be fast, if you can be efficient, if you can, care for the family in the best way you can, that's a great way to represent a funeral home. Tell us a little bit about being in the removal service. What's your favorite form of removal? Do you like nursing homes, house calls, hospitals? What's your favorite?
Oh man, I think they all have their significance,
Oh,
if
yeah.
you will. But I do appreciate the hospice facilities and working with them and seeing them often and just getting into a routine. It's being able to it's not to be taken lightly, being able to care for others and the hospice facilities, a lot of times the families are there. So that I
Yeah.
would say the hospice calls are probably my favorite. Always enjoy talking with the nursing staff there and getting to know
I know why you like hospice. I know
them.
why. It's because you get the little old people and it's quick and
Yeah,
it's fast. And
yeah.
no, I'm messing. I'm messing. It is crucial to you build relationships with those people. If you're doing enough removals, you know all the key people at all the hospitals and the hospice and the staff. And it's great to have a relationship with them, because you never know. A family might say, I really don't know what funeral home. They might talk to the nurses and be like, is there any good ones that you work with? You just never know what is going to lead to more business when you're at a funeral home. So it's always good to just keep on that game face, whatever you're doing.
Right, keep that network building and growing the network,
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how you got into, I know this was in your past, into the removal business in the first place, and tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. I like to jump right into the convo. This is Morgan McWilliams, everyone. Tell us a little bit about how you started in funeral service and then got into removals, and then we'll talk about where you're at now.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to come on tonight and
Oh, man.
to share a little bit. So I grew up in the funeral business like yourself. My parents have owned a funeral home in southeastern Ohio for over 30 years now,
Whereabout?
and in Jackson County in small town Wellston, Ohio, where
Yep.
everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, it sounds like it. All right. All right, cool.
So a lot of great people there.
Sure.
But so I did grow up in the business and helped in various ways, you know, mowing the grass or washing the hearse
Oh, yeah.
and always just having that you know, my dad being away constantly.
Yeah.
That was, you know, so I grew up in the business and then at a, you know, I chose a different path originally. I went moved to New Orleans and went through the Fire Academy in New Orleans.
Nice.
So I know a lot of our other colleagues are in public safety, some law enforcement and EMS workers that got back into the funeral business. But that's what my
Happens all the
original
time. Yeah.
game plan was to do in the in was, you know, the fire service. Then a few years, you know, into it, I had a change of heart and moved to South Florida and took a job at a very high volume traditional firm
Sure.
here and started as an embalmer apprentice. And then later on, I would open my own removal transfer business and did
Nice.
that for quite a few years and then have reestablished back into the funeral home operations side of things while I'm in school currently at Northeast Texas Community College.
Nice, nice. Isn't that where Ben Schmidt is, right?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Professor
just.
Schmidt is now at NTCC. He's a great instructor, has a lot of knowledge. Him and Dr. D both.
No doubt. That's awesome. Very cool that you're expanding your knowledge too. How did you? So we're going to backtrack back into. Tell us about your change of heart. How you got into funeral service? Like, what made you actually do it? What was that calling? Where did you just have that feeling? Because a lot of us funeral directors know if we've had family in it, it's very similar to other families that have nurses or teachers. There's something about those industries where you're caring for other people, you're taking care of other people, it instills in you. So I wonder if that was something with you, Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my dad always kind of discouraged me from being in funeral service, even though I did help out
Same.
some, you know, he always,
Yep.
exactly. So, you know, and he was always upfront and honest. And of course,
Yep.
you know, he's my dad and it's my the family. So I saw it too. And I think maybe that's what originally I decided, no, you know, I'd rather go into the be a firefighter. And
Right.
You know, after that, I really, it's like you said, it's instilled in you and,
Yeah.
you know, just how rewarding our job is. You know, too often I get, just like everyone, I get into spots of burnout occasionally if I'm not
Yeah.
following my self-care just a reminder of how rewarding our job is keeps me going a lot of times.
There's no doubt about it. And there are highs and lows that we all have to deal with. And that's why it's cool that we're creating communities and getting to talk with people. And it empowers everyone to keep that foot moving forward and keep going. So tell us about how you got started in the removals then. Was that something that you were like, you saw an opportunity in South Florida, or how was it? And what were your favorite part and your least favorite part about
Cool.
running a removal service? Because I know that's tough work.
Yeah. So I started in the removal service. You know, as I mentioned, I worked at a high volume traditional
Right.
firm, and you know, we're very populated down here in South Florida, and tons of opportunity for removal services. And I
Sure.
saw the opportunity. You know, I had my own drive of professionalism and little things that I would say, oh, I'd do this differently. And
Yeah.
so now I had the opportunity to do it differently.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I started into it, was just seeing the need. And
Sure.
then you know, what was the question? My favorite and my
Yeah,
least
your favorite and
favorite.
your least favorite. Yeah.
That's a rough one. You know, I think my favorite is always receiving the feedback from the family, you know, after they meet with the director the next day, making the arrangements, and they just remember, you know, oh, Morgan was so nice, or you
Yeah.
know, he was there for us and explained everything, and getting that feedback from funeral homes or from families is obviously the most rewarding, I think. Yeah. Least favorite is going to be the opposite of that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say phone. Like, you're always got to be on the phone. You always have to be attentive. It's got to be a tough part, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you don't have the option of taking three calls after, you know, in the wee morning hours, that's tough. But I would say the opposite of, you know, my favorite would be, you know, I've had families show up on unexpected scenes, death scenes. And those are probably obviously the worst.
Yeah, that's very challenging and a tough thing that you have to deal with. What would you recommend to someone? I feel like it's a younger funeral director's passion usually is those removal services. And like that's a lot of people kind of get their foot in the door. At least that's what I've seen a lot of times. So people have that like, hey, I've got the passion. I've got the fire right now. I might start a removal business. What would you recommend for a young funeral director starting out? And if they're interested in that, and how did you get other funeral homes on board?
Absolutely. I think, you know, just like it was for myself, this is a great opportunity for anyone who wants to step up to the plate and can, you know, it's very minimal startup cost with a stretcher and a lot of times you can get brand new equipment and still have relatively low startup cost. So if the opportunities in your area, I would encourage you to speak with your local funeral homes and ask them, how can I help? You know, what can I do to, you know, be of service for your funeral home and start to get involved? Because that's really where the meat and potatoes is, being involved and making connections.
Yes, it's so important in every aspect of funeral services, making the connections, and that's a great thing. Tell us a little bit about your dad. What was his career like, and what did he do along his career?
Along my dad's career, so he's owned a funeral home for over 30 years in Southeast Ohio. Yeah, and it's a different. Group of it's a different population there, obviously a lot more traditional funerals than we have here in Florida at a higher cremation rate. But, it's been really awesome being an embalmer apprentice and being involved and talking with him about different things and techniques and ways of doing things and sharing our thoughts off each other. So that's been really cool. But one of the most things I can remember about his career growing up is just obviously, you know, being the center of attention in the town, or, you know, your name, having to carry the family name in a small town, not an easy thing to do sometimes. And I've definitely let him down in that aspect.
No, don't say that. Come on now. Is that anything that ever interests you? Like, it seems like you're pretty settled into Florida now. You never had an interest in taking over from your dad in Ohio?
No, I mean, Ohio does have different requirements as far as they require a bachelor's degree. So I'd have to continue in schooling. Yeah. And there's other steps that would need to be taken. But to be completely honest with you, I've never had that desire. I've always kind of did my own thing down here in South Florida, living in the Sunshine State. And I'm happy with what I'm doing right now, too.
Yeah, that's great. Are you on the Lottie side or are you Fort Myers? Where are you at about?
Yeah, I'm in Naples, and where I work at, the funeral home I work at is in Fort Myers. We have three locations in Naples, Bonita Springs, and Fort Myers.
Wow, that's awesome. So tell us about your career now and what you're doing with those funeral homes and what that's like.
Yeah, so as I was mentioning, you know, I worked with various funeral homes all across the state of Florida when I operated my removal service and met a lot of great people, great funeral directors, managing directors and such. And one of those people that I met really intrigued my interest and gave me an offer I couldn't pass up. I started with them a couple years ago working just doing a little bit of everything, you know, and I really enjoy working at this family firm. That's a great family, you know, great to work with and loving every aspect of it.
That's very cool. So what is your day-to-day like with them? And how is it going in that respect?
Sure. So, you know, our office hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. But again, we work up 7 days.
Huh? I might hang up the call.
So those are our guaranteed hours. Now, outside of that, of course, you know, I'm constantly working. We are always having services scheduled and things of that nature. And we are a small operated business. So, you know, we cover a lot of bases. But, you know, Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 are my office hours. I love it, you know.
So what do you do for them specifically on your days? Are you more of a manager? Are you directing, or are you still helping on the removal side? What is your work like?
So a little bit of everything. You know, I'm in school right now to obtain my dual licensure in Florida.
Right. Cause where are you licensed then previously?
In Florida.
In Florida.
Wait, so, right. So Florida is different. You obtain an embalmer apprentice license.
Right. Yeah. Right. I knew that. My bad, Morgan. I got you. So now you're going for your directing license. Is that what it is?
Absolutely. My, you know, official one that I don't need any more classes and all that. So.
Yeah. How is that going?
Really good. I love it. I couldn't be. I did a lot of research on online schools when I looked into it. And I tell you, they've really went above and beyond at NTCC, Miss Ratana and Miss G, the program director there. So I love it. I love all my classmates and all the discussion forums. It's a different scene. I was just dissecting a pig on my kitchen table downstairs in front of my wife the other day for online virtual lab.
What? All right, you got to give us the details on that. Did they send you a pig, or you're going to the farmer's market and you grab one?
They did provide it for me, so we'll give them that. But yeah, it arrived in a box and in a vacuum sealed bag, and we learned a lot. That was a fun project.
Wow, that's legit. So you have to do that for your funeral directing? Like, I'm confused. Like, why that applies, or is it like more of an all-encompassing type program?
Yeah, so I'm going for my associate's degree in funeral service.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what's required in Florida in order to, you know, take the exams and hold licensure. But right now I'm on, you know, the apprentice side of things. And
yeah, I gotcha. So what is it like being in school? You've been in funeral service for quite a while at this point. What is it like having to be in school with other people that may not have any experience? It's got to be a unique situation.
It is. You know, I'm definitely blessed to have the opportunity to be involved and have such a deep passion for it. But there's definitely plenty of students. I think at our orientation, we had over 100 just for the online orientation.
Holy
and, you know, it's definitely, a hot degree that everyone's getting into. So,
unintended,
right.
That's a good thing. Our industry needs it. There's definitely, like I was saying, a big need for funeral directors, I think, throughout the country. It's not just a specific location either. A lot of family firms just pivoting away from maybe not being just family anymore. Of course, mine still is at the moment, but you know, it's most around the country is like they need more help, and it's great to see that people are signing up. They want to get involved, and that's just really awesome. And how do you think it's been preparing since you've been in funeral service? How do you think the program has prepared you thus far? If, like, let's say you didn't have the experience you did, do you think people are in a good position to dive in? Personally, I think there's nothing better than the hands. Like, you can't, it doesn't even compare. Like, the books and learning whatever you want to do, you could get 100% A pluses in every class, and then you go on the job. It's totally different. That's in my opinion, but I'm curious to see, maybe this program does a job that's really gets you going in a better way.
Oh, absolutely. It is completely different being
Yeah.
hands-on. And that's why it's important, to seek out opportunities. There are so many opportunities in funeral service, mortuary science that you can go after,
Yeah.
from the funeral directing side to the embalmer side to the removal business to, all kinds. The sky is the limit. So I think, but you definitely want to get your hands involved immediately, or at least set up an appointment with your local funeral home, your local funeral director, even if it's just a phone call or a Zoom, just to have some questions for them and really comprehend an understanding of what you're getting into before fully getting into it, I would suggest. But there are a shortage of funeral directors, and
Yeah.
again, plenty of opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, that's definitely a tip that I always say if anyone's asking if they're interested, you got to go shadow for a day. You have to see, like, can I actually handle this? Is this something that I'm going to enjoy a little bit too? Because it's a big, big decision. And that's the first step. And then you can go down the route of looking at funeral homes or looking at different programs. And there is a need for funeral directors. You got to be willing a little bit to maybe look around. You can't just be set in stone. Like, I want to be in a funeral home, and like for me, like I want to be in the north side of Chicago or something. You can't limit yourself that much because there aren't that many out there. Like, I mean, there's 20,000 in the U.S. I mean, there are a lot, but that's not that crazy of amount. So if you're willing to be a little bit flexible, you could probably find yourself in a good position, I would say, as a young funeral director right now.
Absolutely. I think it's imperative to see the different funeral home operations and how things are ran there.
Yeah.
And because this is going to be your employer, prospective employer. So
Yeah.
I think that's really good. One of the I grew up with my father owning the funeral home, but
Yeah.
he has always held the prep room at the highest regard and privacy. And I didn't ever enter his embalming room or
Same.
anything like that. He would always peek his head out the door if I was knocking, and of course I would. I'd go back there curious. But
Dad.
one of the right but one of the first when I first got back involved with funeral service and seeing someone the aspiration process in a trocar, going into the
That'll
cavity there, that was
the
different. Let's say that
first
was,
time you see that, it's
yeah.
something. That's like, oh, all right, we're really getting into embalming right now. This is intense.
This is how it's
Yeah.
done.
I mean, you get used to it very quickly and you know the purpose and the procedure of it. But when you see it for the first time, it's like, what? This is crazy. And then you're smelling all these different things. You're like, what? This is, it's a different world. We live in a different world than most people. And I think that's why we're all able to be friends and talk to each other, because we have this weird special connection of being like, oh, you know things that I know that 99.999% of the world doesn't.
Definitely.
Oop, that's a death call here. Hold on just a second. All right, I think the students got it. I'm sorry about that. We've been seeing a lot more business come in ever since we started mortuary marketing. And I gotta tell you, all the funeral homes we work with, they're saying the same thing. So what do? We run ads on Google and other similar sites that get directed at families that need a funeral home in your area. It then brings them to a page that we've designed for you that gets the family to call you to inquire for your services. It's really increased our volume big time. It's working for my funeral home, and I think most parlors could really benefit from its uses. I put a bunch of information in the podcast description. Go check it out. I'm always happy to help talk with you and answer any questions you might have. All right, let's get back to our morbid discussion.
Tell us about the difference between, you came from a high volume to start your career. Tell us the difference between that and then going to, I would say, what are you at, a medium high level? Where you're at now, I'm assuming if you have three funeral homes on that level. So tell us the difference between the two, and what did you like or dislike about either or?
Sure, that's a great question. The first high volume firm I worked at was a corporation. And great corporation. I never really had any complaints, but it is a different structure and a different setup, a different operation sometimes. And and different people, obviously. So it's, yeah, it was a totally different. Now I'm at a family firm, which is a lot different. We're still pretty high volume. We do a lot of repatriation and international ship outs.
Oh, okay.
And even, you know, Florida's the retirement community, so.
Yeah, you're shipping all over the country, I'm
right?
sure.
Right, yeah. And yeah, we're the good quality prep.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look you up because I think I had two ship-ins this week from Florida. One was from Florida, one was from Georgia, I think. But still, like, that's a good place to be when you're down there, and you gotta do me a solid. If you're doing all these ship outs, you gotta put a sheet underneath the body for me every time.
Gotcha.
Both of these bodies this week didn't have a freaking sheet underneath. I'm like, come on. Like, you're a funeral director. You should know, like, that is a priority number one. You gotta help me get this body out of here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are the worst.
What are some of the tips and tricks that you have if you're doing a lot of ship outs? Do you have anything special that you do that would apply to us?
I think customer service still applies. I think funeral directors and embalmers can actually be worse than families dealing with sometimes, yeah. Not all the times. No, it's fun to speak with all the different funeral directors and embalmers from all over and to help the families coordinate that. In regards to, you know, the type of work, we always try to cover every, you know, dot every T or cross every T and dot every I with ship outs, because we know that they come at the highest priority, and it's our reputation that's on the line. So we've really established a great reputation on social media and online and with funeral homes all over.
Nice.
So I would definitely recommend doing the little things like putting a sheet underneath of, you know, for assistance. So, you know, like I mentioned, my dad was always real reserved on how involved I was or what aspect. And I was always had a drive and passion to help out as far as like doing the removals. And I remember when I was 17 years old, I had switched the phone lines, you know, because he didn't always have an answering service and the phones would ring at the house and we didn't live at the funeral home, but I had switched the phone lines around and I took a death call in the middle of the night, unbeknownst to him, at a hospital. And I thought, well, I'm going to surprise dad and, you know, have this body at the funeral home for him and everything. So here I am. This is the first time I've ever really been involved.
No way.
So we get to the hospital. I get the body in and heading back and I'm all gung ho and cruising down this old, you know, Ohio back road, windy and hills and everything. And I take the sharpest curve and plump, the stretcher had tipped over in the back.
Did you freak? What happened?
I did. I was really nervous. I was stuck in this and thank God it's an unpopulated area and no one was around. It was early morning hours, but here I am pulled over on the side of the road with my hazards on and in the back of the van pulling the stretcher back to, but needless to say, I was a lot more cautious driving to the funeral home after that. And also, you know, dad wasn't the happiest, even though I got everything taken care of.
Oh, I'm sure. You gotta watch those tight turns when you're in the van or you're in the hearse. No tight turns ever. That's a key. What about a crazy story from your removal days? Have you ever had any situation that would be a unique one that you haven't really heard before?
I've got a few, I'm sure, but you know, one I'm thinking of in particular, which was really unique, was a husband and wife, and we arrived on scene, and the sheriff's office was there. And they had said that the husband had a heart attack in the bathroom, and the wife had left a note that, you know, if he's not living, neither is she. And she had unfortunately taken all of her medicine and said goodbye on laying on the bed. Oh. And we picked both of them up and they both got a ride to the funeral home together and stayed with each other throughout the whole time. But that's probably a unique one. Definitely.
Wow. That's really sad and really tough. And I mean, that's beyond love right there. Like to a too much level potentially, but that must've been hard just to do that. I would say it would be a sad situation.
So do you think that she upheld her vows till death do us part?
She sure did. There was no parting. There was zero parting. That is a good one. What about your future career? Where do you see yourself going? What do you want to do? What are your aspirations?
Well, definitely, I think my roots are in funeral service, and I love what I do. You know, love getting to meet others. I had recently joined the team with Frigid Fluid Company and have been traveling to the various conferences and really love getting the different insights from the funeral service and being involved. So I definitely see my foundation in funeral service here lasting for a while.
Yeah, your roots go deep. Tell us a little bit about what you do with Frigid and what your role is and, you know, how did it even come to be in the first place?
Absolutely. So, you know, my mentor had always used Frigid Fluids and we had used other companies too, but, you know, that was part of using the different chemical companies, and especially when I was doing removals and stuff and embalmer apprentice at various locations, using different chemical companies and seeing the actual results. And I think a lot of, you know, everyone has really good fluids, you know, and, but you know, I really love Frigid Fluid. I have always found it fun to post about it on social media and let other people know how much I love Frigid Fluid. And I really, you know, I'm on the same page with their innovation and everything that's taking place there. So Nelson Sanchez, you know, being from South Florida here, I also knew Nelson prior to when I joined with them, and you know, they had given me the opportunity last year and loving every bit of it.
That's cool. That's fun. I mean, you get to incorporate what you're doing every day anyway, so you might as well double down and make some fun of it. I mean, that's what we do. Like, we just try to have fun with our content that we're doing, like to talk to other funeral directors like you and just honestly BS and just live the life and try to help other people, help other funeral homes. That's the main key is what I like to do, because I think there's a lot a funeral director has to deal with every day. And it's important to have people out there in the industry that want to help, whether it's on, you know, the prep room side, the business side of things, like that's what we do, or what, honestly, emotional support would be something that someone else should really get involved with or like create some sort of program.
Because that's a
whole different animal. But I mean, all that stuff is really important. We got to be there for each other, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I think that's what drives me the most is, you know, being able to take some of these phone calls and talk with different embalmers and learning so much myself. You know, if I don't know a challenging situation that you're facing, then we'll find the answer for it. We'll call Dr. D or call Michael Cooney because he knows he's done this before. Or, you know, so I love it. That's what drives me is talking with other funeral directors and embalmers.
No doubt. It's a lot of fun. And we, like we said before, we share a lot of the same things. Okay. Let's do a final question. Whether it's in the prep room or on the funeral service side of things, give us one last, your banger story, the one that you go around to your friends or your family and they ask you, what's the craziest thing that you've ever experienced? Give us that story. What is it?
Oh man.
What's your go-to? Everyone's got a couple. I know you do.
I don't. I like saying, in the prep room, I have a saying that, you know, my mentor always used to say, and it just always kind of stuck with me too. And everybody says this, not just me, and it's nothing outrageous, but in the prep room, every, you know, when you have a good case, or you have that, you know, good body that you're feeling good about and confident, and you can let others know, every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
No,
there's nothing better than when you have a good one.
Yeah. No, I think personalization is a big thing in modern day funerals. The families nowadays, even if it's just a cremation, like the options are endless with cremation as far as having a viewing before cremation and giving them that option. But I would say that the personalization is a big thing that's changing in funeral service that, you know, I think it's important to take a look at. How are you personalizing each service of the families that you're meeting with?
That's the future. You know? That's what I always talk about, that same thing. It's the service that's going to set our funeral homes apart. The ones that want to make it to the next one, they got to be in front of the families. Like, they got to get their name out there. That's step one. Step two, you have to provide top-notch service, go above and beyond, make it personal, make it personalized to show this is where our value is. People aren't seeing value as much anymore in certain other aspects of funeral service. But one thing they can't deny is if we're going above and beyond and providing great service, personalized service, then they come back to you.
Absolutely.
Then they help you recommend to other people in some way, shape, or form. And that's how you get the ball rolling and continue to have great businesses that are helping a lot of families.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Morgan, this has been a great conversation. So much fun. Thank you for taking the time, and good luck with everything. You know, your rest of your school, and hopefully it goes very smoothly. And same with your funeral home experience. Hopefully it continues on the path. And we appreciate you. You're doing a great thing. Great job out
there. Appreciate you. It's a pleasure to be on tonight.